In the 18 months after the publication of the fatwa, bin Laden, like a novice politician trying to connect with his audience, sought out press coverage and refined his message. He continued to rail against the presence of U.S. troops on the Arabian Peninsula, and although he called them the shadow of the American presence, he spoke less about Saudi Arabia's rulers. In March 1997, he gave CNN's Peter Arnett the first television interview with a Western broadcaster, in which he declared, "The concentration at this point of jihad is against the American occupiers." In an interview 2 months later with John Miller of ABC News, he complained that the truth is that the whole Muslim world is the victim of international terrorism, engineered by America at the United Nations. We are a nation whose sacred symbols have been looted and whose wealth and resources have been plundered. He pointedly remarked that because of the horrors being inflicted on the Ummah everywhere, withdrawal of the American troops would not stop his campaign. The driving away jihad against the U.S. does not stop with its withdrawal from the Arabian Peninsula, but rather it must desist from aggressive intervention against Muslims in the whole world. The jihad, at least against the Western regimes and the government of the United States of America, could be halted. If their people do not wish to be harmed inside their very own countries, they should seek to elect governments that are truly representative of them and that can protect their interests. With the other half of the Crusader Zionist alliance, the story was different. There, the struggle was elemental and seemingly eternal. The enmity between us and the Jews goes far back in time and is deep-rooted, he announced. There is no question that war between the two of us is inevitable. While all these radical Islamists are consumed by anti-Semitism, they do not agree on the identity of the driving force behind world infidelity. To bin Laden, it is the Jews. To al-Zawahiri, Israel is, in fact, a huge U.S. military base. Who is the instrument and who the agent interests them little. Evil is evil. Bin Laden also used these and other interviews to argue, in line with his many Islamist fellow believers, for a textual fundamentalism, asserting that there is no choice but return to the original spring, to this religion, to God's book, praise and glory be to him, and to the sunnah, the deeds and sayings of his prophet. He is contemptuous of most modern clerics and their ersatz doctrines, and he reaffirms the radicals' beliefs that the acme of this religion is jihad. The nation has had a strong conviction that there is no way to obtain faithful strength but by returning to this jihad, not through the traditional pillars of Islam. That refinement, and perhaps a far more skilled writer, account for the dramatically different quality of bin Laden's second fatwa, issued on February 23, 1998. Here the language is simple and the metaphors poetic. The Arabian Peninsula has never, since God made it flat, created its desert, and encircled it with seas, been stormed by any forces like the Crusader armies spreading in it like locusts, eating its riches and wiping out its plantations. The indictment is a straightforward one, 3 counts, each dealing with a different land. First, the Arabian Peninsula. For over 7 years, the United States has been occupying the lands of Islam in the holiest of places, plundering its riches, dictating to its rulers, humiliating its people, terrorizing its neighbors, and turning its bases on the peninsula into a spearhead through which to fight the neighboring Muslim peoples. In Iraq, despite the great devastation inflicted on the Iraqi people by the Crusader Zionist Alliance, and despite the huge number of those killed, which has exceeded 1 million, despite all this, the Americans are once again trying to repeat the horrific massacres, as though they are not content with the protracted blockade imposed after the ferocious war or the fragmentation and devastation. So here they come to annihilate what is left of this people and to humiliate their Muslim neighbors. and in the Middle East. Third, if the Americans' aims behind these wars are religious and economic, the aim is also to serve the Jews' petty state and divert attention from its occupation of Jerusalem and murder of Muslims there. The best proof of this is their eagerness to destroy Iraq, the strongest neighboring Arab state, and their endeavor to fragment all the states of the region, such as Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Sudan, into paper statelets, and through their disunion and weakness, to guarantee Israel's survival and the continuation of the brutal Crusader occupation of the peninsula. This campaign to oppress, divide, and murder amounts to one thing: a clear declaration of war on God, His messenger, and Muslims. The response is categorical. The ruling to kill the Americans and their allies, civilians and military, is an individual duty for every Muslim who can do it in any country in which it is possible to do it, in order to liberate the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Holy Mosque, Mecca, from their grip, and in order for their armies to move out of all the lands of Islam, defeated and unable to threaten any Muslim. This is in accordance with the words of Almighty Allah, and fight the pagans all together as they fight you all together, and fight them until there is no more tumult or oppression, and there prevail justice and faith in Allah. This, more than any other statement, has become the canonical Bin Laden, a call to action to all Muslims, a summons to overcome imposed divisions, a demand that injustices be set right. With the additional signatures of al-Zawahiri and leaders of three other jihadist groups from Egypt, Pakistan, and Bangladesh, it presented the appearance of a consensus. It was an appeal to the discontented of the Islamic world, the presentation of a case shorn of the usual circular reasoning and obscure references, like no other work of al-Qaeda rhetoric.